Great psalm. Turn your Bibles, please, to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, verse 6. Psalm 126, verse 6. Page 663 in your Scofield Reference Bible. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's bow our heads, please, and ask God to bless his word. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this good service. Thank you for the good songs and the good testimonies and the prayers that have gone Godward. And Father, now bless this, I pray, thy word to our hearts tonight. And Lord, I pray you'd anoint me as I preach. Give me liberty. Give me freedom, Lord, that I must have, Lord, and enable to preach the word of God and handle it rightly. Lord, I can't do it without your help. I confess, without you, Lord, I'm nothing. And I agree to that statement, Lord, out of John 15. And we are nothing without the Lord. And I pray, Lord, you'd bless tonight. Encourage us to live for you and be soul winners for Jesus. Somebody here not saved, help them get saved before they leave here tonight. And get glory out of this service and defeat the devil. And we'll thank you. Lord, may we at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church be a soul-winning people, pointing people to Jesus and to heaven. In his name we pray. Amen. And amen. Soul-winning is the plan and purpose of God for the New Testament church and for the New Testament Christian. We can't call ourselves a New Testament church, folks, unless we're involved in reaching people for Jesus Christ. Soul winning is the very heartbeat of God. And soul winning was the reason God sent his son to this world to suffer and bleed and die. Soul winning was a driving force that caused Jesus to set his face like a flint toward the old rugged cross where he would die in our stead. And soul winning is commanded for all Christians. Now the Bible has many passages that clearly reveal to us our responsibility to be soul winners for Jesus. But I believe Psalm 126:6 that we have before us is God's plan for successful soul winning. It's simple and clear that no one should miss the message. I want to take that one verse tonight and speak to you on the divine blueprint for successful soul winning. First of all, I want you to notice the mandate of the soul winner. The very first word, the two-letter word, go. That is our mandate. Now, the word mandate means authorization to act given to a representative. And we have a heavenly mandate to go to a lost world. And we're to go as representatives of the Lord God of heaven. What an exalted position to go into the world representing the King of Kings. So the first step to be a successful soul winner for Jesus is just simply go. Jesus said in Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now right here is why most Christians don't win souls. They just don't go after sinners and try to win them to Christ. Many people have the mistaken idea that the best Christians and the one who's separated and those who are most faithful to the church and those who give their tithes and don't honky-tonk and drink and carouse around, they'll make the best soul winners. But you know, that's not true. That is not true. People say, I want to be a good Christian and win others to Christ by the way I live. I don't think after the message this morning anybody would doubt that Gene Lashley believes in living the separated life. I mean, I think I pretty well nailed that down this morning. But you know, just to live a separated life is not the way to win souls to Christ. God's method for soul winning is to go out after them. Now, I'm a fundamentalist with a capital F-U-N-D or however you however you spell fundamentalist, I is one. And I don't believe in cooperating with the compromisers and the worldly crowd and the apostates and the liberals and the National Council of Churches. But folks, listen, you can be a fundamentalist and you can be a separated Christian and still not be a soul winner. And some people think that you've got to have a charming personality and you've got to be a student of the good student deep in the Word, and you've got to be a graduate of one of our fundamental Christian colleges. And if you will, that if you are have a charming personality and you're a great Bible student, graduate of Christian college, you'll be a soul winner. But that is not so. That is not so. Soul winning is not a matter of personality or a good education. Willard Tom, my good friend, is lying. I think he's at home in the hospital. I saw him about a week ago, and he's going to go home from the hospital the next day or two. So he's probably at home. But Brother Willard Tallman is one of the best soul winners that ever come through Upper East Tennessee, Northeast Tennessee. And he's up there dying of cancer now. But for the last 50 years, Willard Tallman has won hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of souls to Jesus Christ. And when Brother Willard got saved, he couldn't even read and write. When he got called to preach, he couldn't even read or write. And he told me, he said, Brother Gene, he said, I learned to read and learned to read going to work every day and looking at the signs along the side of the road as I go to work. And yet he became one of the greatest soul winners I've ever known. And for over 20 years since I've been here, he's won over 100, had over 100 baptisms a year in his church up there. So those who win souls to Christ are those who go out after them week after week after week. Soul winners go when it's convenient, and they go when it's not convenient. They go when it's cold, they go when it's hot. They go when they feel like it, and they go when they don't feel like it. And folks, we as teachers and bus captains and preachers and staff members and deacons, we ought to do the same. We ought to go constantly visiting, knocking on doors, and trying to tell people about Jesus Christ. John R. Rice tells in his little book, Soul Winner's Fire, about a farmer in the Civil War who was drafted to the Confederate Army. He didn't know how to march, didn't know how to salute, and he didn't know what the bugle calls meant. And when he went to the end of the Confederate Army, he brought along his squirrel rifle. And as soon as he got to camp, the command came to charge the Yankees. And he joined in the rebel yell and went after them. And the Confederates were outnumbered. And the bugle call was given to retreat. And they pulled back to safer ground. And as the soldiers pulled back, they said, poor Jim. He was either killed or taken prisoner in the first battle he was in. But about sundown, they looked over the horizon there. And here they saw two tired fellows coming over the hill. And one was in front was blue, and the other in the back wore gray. And somebody had taken a prisoner and was prodding him with a bayonet. Somebody said, that's Jim, that's Jim. Jim's got a prisoner. Hey, Jim, how'd you get him? And this farmer Jim, he was mad because he thought they had deserted him in battle. And he said, where did I get him? Why, the woods are full of them. Why don't you get yourself one? And folks, now the world is full of sinners. There's lost people everywhere you turn. And there's lost people you could win to Jesus Christ if you would just go after them. And the woods are full of them. And folks, really, we're letting down here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church on our soul winning and our going after people and trying to build our Sunday school classes. And this week, why don't every one of us this week just try to go out and win one person to Jesus Christ and bring them down the aisle this Sunday? And we can rejoice together. That's God's plan, by the way. That's God's plan. So if you're going to be a successful soul winner, God's Word says the first step is to go. And that is a mandate of the soul winner. And then second, in this verse, I want you to see the mood of the soul winner. If we're going to win the lost to Christ, folks, we need to go weeping. We're going to have some tears. The psalmist says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Go is the first step in soul winning, but the second step is to have a compassion and a burden and go with a broken heart and with tears. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, stood in the door of the Lord's house and cried out in Jeremiah 9:1, "Oh, that my head were water and mine eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Paul stayed 3 years in Ephesus, and after he had left, he could tell the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:31, "Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul preached with a broken heart, and we need to learn to weep over sinners. A few years ago, the Lord convicted me that I hadn't, it's been quite a while since I'd had a broken heart and over lost people. And I was really getting concerned. And if I go very long in this pulpit without weeping over sinners, or if I go very long out knocking on doors when I talk to a lost soul without having tears, I get concerned. And I was praying about this, and I went to visit the hospital up in Johnson City and visited this 72-year-old man. And he was a real interesting type of character, and I immediately had rapport with him. And when I asked him if he was saved, he said no, and he started telling me some sad experiences that he's had with Christians and sorry preachers. And he said they've cheated me, and they've lied on me. And he said a Baptist deacon had just taken up with his son's wife. And he said a man tried to kill him with a mattock, and he picked up a pole and hit him over the head with it. And a preacher got up in court. They went to court, and a preacher got up in court and lied about what happened. But he got cleared of it. But now, here was a 70-year-old man up in Johnson City Hospital in bad health and lost. And I said, "Listen, sir," I said, "that may be true. But you know what? God will take care of that crowd." And I told him, I said, "Now, not all Christians and preachers are that way." Because I said, "I know some who are living for the Lord." And his daughter went out of the room and just left me with this gentleman alone. And I went over to his bed and I took him by the hand. And I said, "Sir, I want you to know I've never taken up with anybody else's wife. And I've never drunk a drop of liquor. And I've never said one curse word from my mouth. Not one curse word has ever proceeded out of my mouth. And I don't smoke, and I don't dance, and I try to pay my bills." Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I don't want you to think that, but I am trying to live right. And as I was standing there by his bedside, I started weeping. God broke my heart for this dear man, and I told him, I said, "Sir," I said, "time is running out, and Jesus loved you and died for you and wants to save you." And I said with tears in my eyes, I said, "I'm going to pray, sir, and why don't you just settle this thing and get saved right now?" And he shook his head and said, "Yes," like that. And so I prayed with him, and he got saved. And I went outside and brought his daughter in, and I said, "Your dad just got saved." And she went over, and they were hugging each other, and they both started weeping, and we all had a good weeping time in that room. I couldn't win him with my logic. And I didn't win him by just telling him he was lost and needed to get saved. But when he saw Gene Lansley weeping over his soul, then that won him to Christ. He had no defense. Jude 22 says, "Some have compassion, making a difference." Those tears, folks, you weep over a poor lost soul will make a difference. Now, why will tears make a difference in our soul winning? Because, listen to me, when that lost person sees your tears, you know what they're going to think? They're going to think there is somebody that's sincere. There's somebody that really means business for Jesus Christ. Who is going to come back rejoicing with his sheaves? The Word of God says, the psalmist says, he that goeth forth and weepeth. Now, many of you folks have been here for many years, and you know that every time God breaks my heart and I weep, stand there and weep while I'm preaching, almost every time somebody comes down this aisle and gets right with God. Almost every time. I rarely see a time when I have a broken heart that God doesn't touch some soul. God's Word said, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Then third, from this verse, I want you to see the method of the soul winner. The soul winner must go forth weeping, but he must go forth bearing precious seed. Jesus himself said in Luke 8:11, the seed is the Word of God. In order to be a successful soul winner, you need to know it's not your power, just your power of persuasion. It's not your logic that's going to win them to Christ. It's not your ideas or your unique approach or your arguments. That's not what's going to save a poor hell-bound sinner. If a supernatural work is done in the heart of a sinner, folks, it takes the Word of God. It takes the Word of God. And Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick. That is, it's living. This book is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God said to Jeremiah the prophet, is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? The psalmist said in Psalm 119:130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So we need to use God's word in our soul winning. I talked to David Shanks again today. Years ago, David, as you know, married Pam Deacons, Irene. Are you here, Irene? Irene's niece. And Pam was in our church for many years, and she married David, and David was a professing Christian, but he started coming around here, and he got to doubting his salvation, and he came up to me one day in the office back there, and told me he wasn't sure he was saved. He started doubting his salvation, and so I took the Word of God and started counseling with David, and I was showing him different verses, and I showed him Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And as I was explaining that to him, I was asked somebody, I had to go out for just a moment out of the office. And I laid my Bible down on my desk, and when I went out, David got up and went over those verses and memorized them while I was out. And when I came back, he didn't make a profession there. I got on my knees and prayed with him. But David got in his car, went out to the intersection out there, and turned left on the highway. The highway wasn't complete. In fact, it stopped at the Boone's Creek exit then. And as he turned on the highway, God used this verse to convict his heart. And David told me today, he said, Brother Gene, I pulled over on the side. He said, I didn't come to a complete stop, but I got saved right out there on that highway. Now, I didn't went into the Lord, but I gave him a verse of Scripture, and God pierced his soul, and he got saved through the Word of God right out there on that highway. And we need to give folks the Word of God. We should go to the unsaved with the Word of God and depend upon the Holy Spirit to use God's word to convict them and convince them and convert them. So if you want to be a successful soul winner, you must go forth weeping, sowing the seed of God's word. That is God's method for the soul winner, giving out the eternal word of God with a broken heart, full of love and compassion for lost men and women, boys and girls. Then let's notice a fourth thing now from this verse. Psalm 126:6. Notice the mirth of the soul winner. Mirth means joy, gladness, accompanied with laughter. The psalmist said, "He that goeth forth and weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." Notice that word, doubtless. Not a shadow of a doubt about it, folks. No doubt about it. Now, how many believe God's honest? Do you really believe God means this when he says this in his word? I believe God says what he means and means what he says. And God says, if you'll go, first of all, and then if you'll go weeping, and if you'll go bearing the seed of God's word, God says, then you will bring some sheaves or some precious souls, if you please. I was thinking again that for these 26 years since I've been here as pastor, we just give out the word of God every Sunday. Just preach the word of God and tell people, sinners, to come to Jesus. And almost every Sunday for all these years, very few Sundays, we hadn't seen somebody come forward to get saved or rededicate their life for Christ. Listen, it's a wonderful thing to preach God's word and see people come down these aisles and getting things right with Jesus Christ. And folks, listen, we ought not take God's blessing for granted here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We ought not take souls for granted coming down these aisles. And we've got to go out after them. We're going to have to pray, keep praying around. Let's keep this Saturday morning prayer meeting going. Listen, men, let's come out on Saturday morning. There's nothing more important in your life than coming out here on Saturday morning and praying. Coming out and getting on your face and on your knees before God. We need to keep praying and we need to keep living right. We need to keep having unity and harmony around Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Listen, what we have at this church, we could lose it overnight if we allow disunity and disharmony to come into Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And God has blessed us, but let's don't take it for granted. Now, many people are not going to get saved. Many will want the pleasures of this life more than they want salvation. And you'll be laughed at, and you'll have doors slammed in your face. It won't hurt you to get a few doors slammed in your face. But if you'll just keep going and telling the story of Jesus and his love and keep sowing the seed of the word of God, sooner or later, some will fall on good soil and that seed will bear fruit and you'll see somebody get saved. So just keep bearing the seed of the word of God. Folks, let's just keep knocking on doors around this area. And God's word says that you'll doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. One of the greatest joys in the world is the joy of winning someone to Jesus Christ. The happiest people in the world are soul winners. The happiest churches in the world are churches where souls are walking the aisle Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Churches across America tonight who never see people walking the aisles and getting saved by the grace of God, they're as dead as last year's bird's nest. And churches who are not winning people to Jesus Christ are twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Now you go to a funeral home. There's no joy. There's no smiles. Everybody's solemn. Everybody walks around softly. Everything is quiet. You go to a nursery, things are a little different, aren't they? Huh? When you go to a nursery, everybody's got a smile on their face. There's a lot of noise around a nursery. And a lot of excitement there, and a lot of goo-goo, goo-goo, goo-goo. And, souls being won to Christ in a church will give it the atmosphere of a nursery. There's excitement where babies are being born. Do you know that? And in a church where people are being saved, there's excitement. And a church will become a funeral home. And rigor mortis will set in if it doesn't see precious souls coming down the aisle, taking Jesus Christ as their Savior every now and then. In Luke 15, The prodigal came home from a wasted life. And that dear old father ran and to his prodigal son, fell on his neck and kissed him and said, "Kill the fatted calf and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Jesus said in Luke 15:10 that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. There's joy in soul winning. I've been preaching for over 35 years, and it's great joy to my heart to know that there are preachers and missionaries and bus captains and deacons and Christian school teachers and Sunday school teachers and mothers and fathers that I have personally won to Jesus Christ. That brings great joy to my heart. I have people already over on the other side that I've won to Jesus Christ. One dear man, I preached up in Grand Detour, Illinois one time. An elderly man came forward and got saved. And in two or three weeks later, I run into a man downtown. He said, "Hey, you remember that elderly man that got saved after you preached out Grand Detour the other day?" He said, "He passed away." And I said, "Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad he got saved. I'm glad he got saved." So I have some on the other side that I've had the privilege of winning to Jesus Christ. Now there's joy now in winning souls to Christ. But folks, think of the rejoicing someday yonder in the sky when Jesus comes for us, and as we're gathered together yonder in the sky, somebody comes up to us and says, "Thank you for telling me about Jesus. Thank you for winning me to Christ." The Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:19, "For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Why don't you give yourself, members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, listen to me just for a moment. Listen to me. Why don't you give yourself to going after lost souls and weeping over lost souls? Ask God to break your heart over law. Get alone somewhere with God and say, "God, break my heart over lost people. Lord, give me tears." Members of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, how long has it been since you wept over some lost soul? Ask God to break your heart. And then why don't you give yourself to going out, knocking on doors and bearing the precious seed of the Word of God to lost souls. If you will, God says in his word, you will doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. Let us pray. Every head bowed and every eye closed. That's our mandate. That's our command. To go weeping, go bearing precious seed. And God said, if you will, you'll come again with rejoicing, bringing your sheaves with you. Folks, let's get involved in God's great program of soul winning, winning people to Jesus. God will use you. If you're saved, you ought to be a soul winner. You ought to either get in the soul winning business, or you ought to get saved and get right with God, one of the two. God expects his people to be about this business of winning people to Jesus Christ. Is there somebody here tonight saying, "Preacher, I'm not even saved here tonight. You've been preaching that people ought to win souls, but here I am not even saved tonight. If I were to die right now, I don't know where I'd go to heaven or not. Preacher, I need to get saved. I want you to pray for me." Is there somebody here like that tonight say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like for you to pray for me." Is there somebody like that? Just slip your hand right up. "Preacher, I'm not sure that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Pray for me." Is there someone like that? Someone like that. Is there some Christian here tonight who said, "Preacher, I've got out of the will of God for my life, and I want to get back in the will of God. I want God to use me. And God's spoken to my heart tonight." Is there somebody like that? Just slip your hand right up. Slip your hand right up. How many have said, "Preacher, lastly, by God's grace and by God's help, I want to get involved in this program of winning people to Jesus Christ. I want God to break my heart over souls. I want God to give me tears to go out and talk to people, compassion and a broken heart. And I want to see people saved. I want God to use me to be a soul winner for Jesus Christ. Just slip your hand up. I want to be a soul winner. I want God to use me. I want God to use me. Just slip your hand. Okay, put your hands down. How many of you will say, preacher, with the help of God, if he'll lead me this week, and if he'll help me, I'm going to try to win somebody this week to Jesus Christ. I'll try. I'll make an effort. I'll try this week to win somebody to Jesus Christ and get them down this aisle here next Sunday. You'll make that effort. Just slip your hand up. You'll make an effort to win somebody to Jesus this week. Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. Father, we thank you tonight for this privilege of coming here to the house of God. And Father, I pray now that you would make soul winners out of us here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And Father, I pray that you'll open doors of opportunity to all these dear folk that raised the hand. And Lord, we'd have people down this aisle this next Lord's Day as a result of people committing themselves this week to talking to somebody about Jesus. God bless now as we give this invitation in Jesus' name. Let's keep our heads bowed and eyes closed. We're going to sing just a verse of "All to Jesus I Surrender." Maybe you need to come to the altar, talk to this. Talk to the Lord about this matter of a broken heart and of a desire to be a spirit-filled soul winner. If God's speaking to you about it tonight, just slip out, come down. Say, Lord, give me a broken heart for souls. Give me tears over the lost. Lord, use me. Help me to win people to Jesus. You ought to do that. You ought to do that. Young people, you ought to be soul winners. Moms and dad, you ought to be soul winners. As we sing, just come. Maybe you just want to come for prayer tonight. Or maybe God's speaking to you about some other special decision you need to make. All to Jesus I surrender. Come on, obey the call of God.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all to thee.
Speaking to you, the invitation's still open. You are going to be baptized. Would you? just proceed to the baptismal room, please.